You are listening to Community Supported Radio, KVMR FM, Nevada City, KCPC, Camino. For their support, we'd like to thank Sweetland Garden Mercantile in downtown North San Juan, carrying organic gardening supplies, tools, seasonal vegetable starts, and now hardware. 292-9000, sweetlandgm.com, dig it. California Organics Market and Cafe, offering organic dishes from around the world. Made-to-order food and outdoor patio seating with a view. Located on Argyle Way in Nevada City. Information at californiaorganics.com. Reiki Kitchen Event Center, located at 315 Commercial Street, Nevada City. Seating up to 100 people in three different settings, including an outdoor tree-covered patio. Offering full-service catering, event planning, and a VIP hotel suite. Reiki Kitchen on Facebook. Nevada Cemetery District, celebrating 75 years of serving Nevada County, offering environmentally sensitive green burial services, which reduce carbon emissions, conserve natural resources, and preserve habitat. Managing 27 public Western Nevada County cemeteries, nevadacemeterydistrict.org. Following NPR headlines and local weather, I will be speaking with Nancy Baglietto, the Executive Director of Hospitality House, and we will be talking about Hospitality House's street outreach program. I'll also be chatting with Don Bessie about a fundraiser this Sunday for the firefighters who lost their homes in Paradise while battling the campfire. We have Molly Fisk with an essay. At 6:30, we bring you Making Contact. And join us at 7 for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. But first, NPR headlines, followed by local weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The threat of a partial government shutdown has been delayed an additional 2 weeks. Today, Congress passed a short-term spending deal. NPR's Kelsey Snell reports funding was due to run out at the end of the day tomorrow until Congress extended the deadline to December 21st.
Congressional leaders agreed to delay spending talks for 2 weeks after the death of former President George H.W. Bush. The extension gives lawmakers extra time to negotiate, but the major sticking points have been unchanged for several weeks. Republicans want to include $2.5 billion for border security and President Trump's proposed wall on the border with Mexico. They also want a commitment for an additional $2.5 billion next year. Democrats have refused, instead offering $1.6 billion for this year. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer are expected to discuss the negotiations at a meeting with Trump next week. Kelsey Snell, NPR News, The Capitol.
The sound of a military choir as the specially designated train carrying the remains of the nation's 41st President George H.W. Bush arrived in College Station, Texas today. After almost a week of ceremonies, Bush's body has been taken to its final resting place, the grounds of his presidential library, located on the campus of Texas A&M University. More than 1,000 student cadets lined the route of the motorcade. Former President George W. Bush and other family members made the 70-mile journey by train. Bush is being buried following a private graveside service. The White House is hosting what it's calling a listening session to hear from top technology executives about their concerns. CEOs of companies including Google, Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, and Qualcomm took part in the lunch session to look at issues including artificial intelligence, wireless technology, and quantum computing. Participants looking at how the fast-growing technologies will affect both jobs and the broader economy. This is NPR. With the open enrollment period as part of former President Barack Obama's health care law set to end next week, it appears signups are lagging when compared to a year ago. Health care law supporters say they are worried amid signs the number of new customers has declined by nearly 18%. Some Democrats are blaming efforts by the Trump administration. However, independent analysts are saying some other factors may also play a part. For example, with a stronger economy and more people getting jobs, many of those positions come with health care coverage. The Interior Department has released its final proposed plans to change its sage-grouse conservation efforts. Environmentalists say it would endanger the western bird that occupies 11 states by opening up more land energy leasing. Wyoming Public Radio's Cooper Kim has more.
The Trump administration's final proposal would make it easier to lease nearly 50 million acres of land for potential energy development. It changes the rules for several classes of areas that prioritize conservation. Michael Saul, a senior attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity, says all the proposed federal changes go strongly in one direction.
They all make it easier to drill wells or graze cows in sage-grouse habitat, and they all make it less certain that sage-grouse will survive.
Wyoming still has its protections for sage-grouse. As do many other western states, development would require state approval. Wyoming is home to 37% of the remaining sage-grouse population. For NPR News, I'm Cooper McKim.
This is NPR.
Now for local weather. In Grass Valley and Nevada City, tonight will be mostly clear with lows near 35. Friday will be sunny with highs near 52, and clear skies are expected overnight with lows near 35. And Saturday in the foothills, sunny skies are expected with highs near 54 and mostly clear skies overnight with lows near 36. In Sacramento tonight, expect patchy fog after 10 p.m., otherwise mostly clear with lows near 37. Friday morning, we'll see patchy fog mostly before 10 a.m., then sunny skies with highs near 56 and lows near 37. And Saturday in the Sacramento region will be mostly sunny with highs near 57 and lows near 37. In Truckee tonight, areas of freezing fog are possible, mostly after 7 p.m., then mostly cloudy with lows near 19. Friday will be mostly sunny with highs near 40 and partly cloudy skies overnight with lows near 16. And on Saturday in the Truckee region, sunny skies are expected with highs near 43 and partly cloudy skies overnight with lows near 19. Tonight in Angels Camp will be mostly clear with lows near 33. Friday will be sunny with highs near 57 and clear skies overnight with lows near 33. And on Saturday in the Angels Camp region, sunny skies are expected with highs near 58 and partly cloudy skies overnight with lows near 35. I'm speaking with Nancy Baglietto, the Executive Director of Hospitality House. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Charlotte. I'm delighted to be here.
And I'm delighted to have you back. So today we're going to talk about street outreach a little bit. But before we start, can you just give us a brief overview of what Hospitality House is for those folks who don't know?
Hospitality House is Nevada County's emergency shelter for homeless people. We are the only emergency shelter throughout the county, so we serve a very important purpose and offer a tremendous resource for our homeless residents.
Wonderful. Thank you, Nancy. So I've heard that Hospitality House has a new street outreach program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. The expanded street outreach program essentially meets people where they are at and interfaces with local businesses. Currently, we have three community liaison positions that have been added recently, and they are supervised by our supervising outreach case manager. While two of the community liaisons walk the Brunswick Basin and other parts of Grass Valley on foot, the other community liaison drives a van, which provides access to services and support in other areas such as downtown Grass Valley and Nevada City. The van also provides transportation for homeless people to get to behavioral health and spirit peer empowerment, social services, one-stop job readiness, any other thing that, you know, people may need to access in terms of services, including, you know, counseling appointments, community legal, so on and so forth. Right. The community liaisons also really help support local business owners who may have concerns with folks that are experiencing homelessness.
And that's a real issue because people are concerned, you know, about having a homeless shelter in their neighborhood because there is a perceived belief that if you have a shelter in their neighborhood, that's going to attract more homeless individuals.
That's true. And I think the other piece of it is that right now we have no place for homeless people to go during the day. So they do things like the rest of us do. They go grocery shopping. They go get coffee. They hang out with friends. They do those types of activities. And sometimes that can interfere with businesses. And people get concerned. And instead of having to call public safety for service, they can call one of our outreach workers who can come down and help transport people to more productive activities or get them to their appointments or whatever might be needed at that moment.
Awesome. Thank you. What about the Good Neighbor policy that Hospitality House has in place that it recommends to its guests.
The good neighbor policy is basically, you know, how to be a good neighbor, how to be a good community member, and basically helps people guide them to making responsible choices when interacting with other people. And we have our good neighbor policy is part of our conditional use permit with Grass Valley, but it's also something that just naturally we would like to encourage people to behave well. And so it's being respectful and not staying in places longer than a half an hour to an hour in front of a business, picking up after yourself, not leaving litter behind, things like that. And that's something that while our street outreach team is walking around and interacting with people, they can just remind them, if you're staying at Hospitality House, you really need to be respectful of the community and do those things that the rest of us would like to see you do as part of a helpful community member.
I think that's it right there, as a helpful community member, because sometimes that kind of thing isn't on our radar. We may not realize that we are being maybe offensive or behaving in a way that is kind of startling to others. And so what a great lesson.
Yeah, yeah. We think so.
So, Nancy, this all sounds really great. And why now? What's different about the timing now?
So we've always had, or I shouldn't say always, but we've had for quite a few years, an outreach case manager. What we haven't had is the team. And so the team is new. And the reason that we hired additional team members, in addition to getting our van, which was provided to us by the United Way, we're very grateful for that. This team was part of our agreement to the community when we opened up our new shelter beds and expanded from 54 beds to 69 year-round. We knew that more people would want to access services at Utah's Place, and we wanted to make sure that we mitigated for the change in programming.
So what are some of the more important activities of the outreach team?
It's really hard for a person struggling with addiction to overcome that addiction if the door is always closed. And it doesn't even have to be addiction. It can be any number of different circumstances that people face. And they're living on the streets. They're feeling vulnerable. Our outreach team is able to connect with them. And that's probably one of the most important elements of it, is that they're building trust. For so many people who've been living on the streets or in the brush, they don't have the relationships that they need to with social service providers, and they often are mistrustful. They question, you know, what's going to happen if I get involved? Will something bad happen to me? You know, and in this case, our case managers can work with people and develop those relationships and say, how can I help you? What can I do for you to make a difference in your life? And that's often a question that a lot of homeless people don't get asked very often. And our outreach team is doing that. They are on the streets. They care. And they want to make sure that they're doing whatever they can to get people where they need to be and feeling better about their situation and make it more hopeful. It's a very desperate feeling to be living on the streets in the cold, often wet clothing, dirty clothing. It's hard to kind of pull yourself up and put a smile on your face and do what you need to get done in a day when you're facing those kinds of obstacles. So that's what we see as one of the most important elements of our outreach team.
That's amazing, because I think that there probably are a fair number of people out on the street that are feeling shunned and almost invisible. So that's really powerful. All right. I'm speaking with Nancy Baglietto, Executive Director of Hospitality House. So how many people have benefited from the street outreach program so far, Nancy?
So to date, we have, as of October, I should say, Hospitality has had 4 staff people really working directly on the streets. And between October and November, we've helped 107 unique individuals. Wow. Provided 441 individual services, provided 190 referrals to service providers, and given 265 rides to appointments and other locations.
Wow, that's big. That's huge.
It's really big. And when you think about it over a two-month period of time, that's substantial impact.
Yeah.
And part of our work is also to make sure that, you know, people are not doing risky behaviors that might cause other harm. And that's another big part of what we see as being an element of the success.
So, Nancy, I love these personal stories that really just bring these things home. So can you tell us about anyone who has benefited because of this program?
Yes, I can. There's a gentleman, let's just, for the sake of the story, call him Nick, that comes to mind immediately. Our outreach team found him in a field. Nick had a severe alcohol problem and was experiencing homelessness. Our outreach team engaged him, and on another day, he agreed to come with them to social services. However, on the day that they were supporting him, he was under the influence. And while our team was inside the building arranging activities in the social services department, Nick took some pills and overdosed outside of the building. He almost died. Our case managers returned to find him unconscious and rushed him to the ER where his stomach was pumped, and luckily, Nick survived. The bottom line here is that our outreach team saved his life. And more than anything, this is why our programs exist and why this program is crucial to Nevada County and our community. In the weeks that followed, we built a stronger rapport with Nick. As I was mentioning before, that's really what the team is about. And he learned to trust people over time and our staff. Our outreach team was able to get him to agree to at least temporarily stop drinking so that he could shelter at Hospitality House. While a guest at Hospitality House, Nick started working with our case management team, and he connected to behavioral health, and later there was diagnosed with a mental illness. He was prescribed the necessary medication to help him cope with his condition and to keep him from self-medicating with alcohol. As you know, that's often one of the reasons for why people do use drugs and alcohol. They're trying to make themselves feel better or reduce anxiety in some way.
Right.
I'm happy to report that today Nick is sober, and we believe in no small part that we had something to do with that. We have to give Nick most of the credit because it's his will that got him as far as he has gotten, but we like to think that we're a part of that support network that helped him to get to that next step. He's gained access to county funding program and now lives in a permanent residence with two roommates. So he's a really good example of what can happen when a person has access to services, is given a little hope, and some trust and willingness. And our team is here with our loving arms, and there is a will. If there's a will, there's a way.
This is how we need to treat other people.
Yes.
It is about meeting people where they are, treating them with respect, because everyone rises when we give them that space to be a real human being without judgment.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. I'm speaking with Nancy Baglietto, Executive Director of Hospitality House. So what's next for the program?
So next for outreach, upcoming is going to be two large camp and community cleanups. And this is something that we're doing annually. It's part of what we want to do and kind of an agreement that we've made with the community. And what's great about it is that we're able to get the community involved in the camp cleanups. And often some of the guests who are staying at Hospitality House also participate. And we have staff and we have volunteers and our board. So it's really a great way to kind of involve everybody in kind of making the community a better place. And that our next one is going to be in May. So we're always looking for volunteers. And hopefully if any of the listeners want to get involved, you can go on our website or give us a call and join the group. It's actually a lot of fun, although it is some heavy lifting and a lot of work. So we also team up at this time to collaborate with Grass Valley Police Department, Nevada County Sheriff's Office, and Behavioral Health, because we're all sort of in this together. So it's a nice collaboration between many different partners within our community.
Right.
Everybody really wants to see change. they're okay with talking about it, but it has to go beyond talking. We have to do something about it. And we can't do it if we're not all paddling in the same direction.
Very well said. That's so true. So is there anything else that you'd like to share, Nancy?
Yeah, there is one last thing I'd love to share, Charlotte, and that's as we look ahead in the ways that we can better serve our homeless community, we really want to hear from the listeners at KVMR about how they might see Hospitality House moving forward in its next steps. And we'd like to, invite people to give us their feedback. We have a survey that takes about 1 minute to answer, 6 questions. And people's feedback would be invaluable to help us with our next steps on how to approach affordable housing, how to approach sheltering, and how best to be responsive to the needs. And your hopes and concerns and our listeners' hopes and concerns are something that we really care about and we'd like to hear. So if people could possibly take 60 seconds of their time to answer the 6 questions, they can go to hhshelter.org and click on the link and take the survey and give us your thoughts.
Wonderful. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon. I know you are so busy, so I do appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk about this. And we will meet again on December 13th, and we're going to talk about future vision for housing.
That sounds great. I look forward to that. We have lots to share, and we'll be interested in hearing what people have to say to us through the survey.
Perfect. Oh, and let's not forget to just throw in a little plug for Night of Giving on December 22nd at the Miners Foundry.
At the Miners Foundry, yes. We are hoping to have the community show up in large numbers. I think last year we had somewhere around 800 people plus, something like that.
Coming in and out throughout the evening because it's from
4 to 11 p.m. So the event will start at 4 and end at 11, but people can come and go. It's as you want to participate and come on in.
Great. All right. Well, Nancy, we'll be chatting again on December 13th.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you. And I've been speaking with Nancy Baglietto, Executive Director of the Hospitality House. Well, I'm speaking with Don Bessie, president of the Alta Sierra Property Owners Association, and we're going to chat a little bit about a fundraiser for firefighters who lost homes in the Camp Fire. So thanks for coming in, Don.
Thanks for having us.
Let's talk a little bit about what your event is.
So the Alta Sierra Country Club, Chef David, and the Alta Sierra Property Owners Association have partnered to put together a long-form fundraiser for the benefit to the firefighters who lost homes. It's all day Sunday from 12 to 6. There's 3 incremental seatings, 12 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 6.
Great. So that's Sunday, this Sunday, December 9th, and that is at the Alta Sierra Country Club. So tell us a little bit about how the events are going to unfold that day.
So there'll be a pasta buffet. We'll have meat sauce, fresh-made penne pasta, Alfredo, garlic bread, all the traditional dessert bite bar. It'll go all day, and we'll have presentations from the event last night at the Rood Center, the Wildfire Town Hall. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing the PowerPoints, repeating them during the 3 blocks. Additionally, we'll have fire personnel and law enforcement personnel coming in to answer questions.
Great. Sounds like a very informative day, as well as a way to support local firefighters who lost their homes while they were battling the blaze.
Absolutely. And it's also an excellent opportunity for us to inform the community about the programs Alta Sierra's leading on. We're going to be the pilot project for evacuation color-coded signs that we're going to start raising the funds for, looking to have them installed next year. And the county wants to roll that out to all the communities, Truckee, Wildwood, LOP, Cascade Shores. Additionally, we're going to buy hydrant markers. They're vertical reflective poles that go on every fire hydrant so that if there is a fire and visibility is bad, when the firefighters roll up, they'll see them quicker, which could be critical.
I live off Banner Mountain, and that's one of the things we talk about up there is how important it is for small neighborhoods, areas to know how you're going to get out, what routes are you going to take to evacuate, are there any neighbors that might need assistance before you go. All of these things that maybe I know I didn't think quite as much about them before the campfire.
Yeah, absolutely. It's focused everybody with a laser on the issue. Right. All Sierra property owners this year has purchased evacuation instruction cards that we're giving to every household in Alta Sierra, which has the key tips. We're recommending they put it inside their garage door or cabinet where they get their medicine every day. So you see it regularly and it imprints. And then even if you forget it, you know where it's at the last minute. It has some very practical tips, things like where to turn the gas off when you go. Leave your lights on so they can see if they're fighting a fire near the house.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing information. So where do the proceeds from this event go?
The proceeds go to the Butte County Burned Benevolent Fund.
Are there any ways that people can contribute other than just coming and attending and enjoying this yummy pasta buffet?
Yes, indeed. We're accepting checks and gift cards. They're recommending gift cards. We've already got people bringing them in, bringing checks. So it's happening now before the event even.
Fabulous. Well, Don, thank you for coming in. And again, this is the Alta Sierra Country Club and Property Owners Association. It's a fundraiser for firefighters who lost their homes in the campfire. And it is this Sunday, the 9th of December, from 12 to 6. Don, how can people get more information?
They can call the Country Club at 273-2868.
Perfect. Thank you.
Award-winning poet Molly Fisk writes, coaches, and teaches writing in California's Sierra Nevada foothills. You can reach her at mollyfisk.com. This program is produced at the studios of KVMR-FM, Nevada City, California. Funding is provided by Harmony Books of Downtown Nevada City and KVMR with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
I'm sitting at a small metal table outside a cafe in Berkeley, California, watching the world go by. So many bicycles, and men wearing hats, not baseball caps, but real hats, and they aren't young men either. Fire trucks, garbage trucks, the kind of city buses that wheeze. I'm on a corner with a four-way stop, so I get to see what everyone thinks a stop really is, and let me tell you, opinions vary. A few kids with their moms or dads, but not enough to indicate a school nearby. Beside me on the street is one of those rent-a-bike stands with 17 receptacles, 10 of which are empty. There's a kiosk attached where you pay, and then, as I understand it, you can ride around town and drop the bike off somewhere else at another stand. If you were to squint, and also imagine yourself up in the foothills where I live at the beginning of the last century, you might see horses tied to a railing in exactly this posture. A person drinking coffee at a sidewalk cafe with wicker chairs like this could also indulge in a fantasy of being in Paris, an expat like Gertrude Stein. But then a boombox goes by, and the sight of someone's rear end encased in turquoise lycra dispels the illusion. Some of the cyclists are wearing tie-dye, though, and are more my age than not, which is heartening to see. They are usually female, riding in pairs while not stopping at the stop sign, and deep in shouted conversation. I'm in the shade wearing a sweater, but many other people have on those new down jackets with very narrow, horizontal poofinesses. What is the word for that? Channels, maybe. The places on a down garment where there are no seams. And the jackets so far are all black. I've probably seen 35 of them in the last hour. What this means, I cannot tell you, but we could make up a reason. Black is the color of city life, being both sophisticated and anonymous, for instance. Or, people in Berkeley are always cold due to looking toward the Pacific. Their body temperature responds to the metaphor of endless chilly water and uncharted depths. Even when we don't think so, humans are constantly making up stories and reasons to fill in what we don't already know. We speculate, and unless we find out accurate information, those speculations, originally wispy and light, begin to thicken into certainty. This is why, oh darn it, I guess I'm heading for a moral, which I didn't mean to do. This is why one should keep an eye out and not believe everything you think. I should, anyway. I can't speak for anyone else. You, my dears, are on your own. There are wider applications than Berkeley outerwear that we could bring into the discussion here, of course, but let's not. It's a beautiful morning, and I'm almost done with my coffee. Suffice it to say that I'm waving from this rickety table on College Avenue, fellow human, sending you love and wishing you the best of luck with speculation management.
Award-winning poet Molly Fisk writes, coaches, and teaches writing in California's Sierra Nevada foothills. You can reach her at mollyfisk.com. This program is produced at the studios of KVMR-FM, Nevada City, California. Funding is provided by Harmony Books of Downtown Nevada City, and KVMR with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
That's our newscast for this evening. Coming up next, we have Making Contact, and join us at 7 for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. For KVMR's news production team, I'm Charlotte Peterson, wishing you a fabulous evening.